part of the show by emailing us, RAD@radradio.com. The phone number is 888-989-9811. I am joined, as always, well, not always, because, I mean, you know, March Madness came up and he couldn't be here for a couple days, but almost always I am joined by Steve Mickelson, as I am again today from Las Vegas, from MixPicks.com. 2Ks and Mix, 2Ks and Picks, MixPicks.com. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
I am rattling an email that one of the things I love about doing radio, the reason I went the route of radio rather than TV, having the chance to do both, is that you're in control entirely in radio. You have no control on TV. The people you see on TV have literally almost no say until you reach the level of, say, Jon Stewart or somebody like that, over what they're saying and what they talk about and things like that. That's all directors and stage managers. A thing like this, we control. And so we get to kind of bounce around and do things a little differently. And I already knew yesterday afternoon that I was going to start the show with this story, but then an email came in from Marcus that says, Rob, will you be sharing the Gary/Kings story, I'll explain all of this, with Steve on the Mixed Picks Sports Show? It seems like the type of this is why we love sports story for the two of you. So Gary is the husband of Dawn, who is part of the Rob Anybody and Dawn show that I host in the mornings on radradio.com, which most of our listeners are aware of or part of, although as the Mixed Pick Sports Show expands and starts to get more noticed as a sports podcast, a lot of people are kind of like, huh, what is this Rad Radio thing? So, but Gary joins this show now and then. And Steve, how long, you and I have known each other about a quarter of a century. Is it the same with you and Gary?
No, not as long as with Gary. I think I've only known Gary, I'd say like 20 years. I think you and I are rolling up towards 30.
Sounds right. You know, at our age, it all kind of blends together. But what Marcus is alluding to, I thought of you right away yesterday because I've heard you talk about various things about, you know, going to sporting events with your kids and other things. And I almost texted you the exchange I was having with Gary. And then I thought, no, I got to tell Steve this story on the show. So yesterday afternoon, late in the afternoon, I get a text from Gary. And he says, I got a wild hair, and I decided I'm going to take my dad to the Warriors-Kings game tonight at Golden 1. His dad lives with him and Dawn for a variety of reasons, and he loves, his dad loves basketball. It's his favorite sport. His dad grew up, as I did, in the Bay Area, and he's always been a Warriors fan. But they moved to the Sacramento area many decades ago, and he adopted the Kings as well. You know, he's like you. He's like, look, I'm from Detroit, so I'm a Red Wings fan, but hey, I got the Golden Knights. They're 1B kind of thing. So his two favorite teams, Gary's dads are the Warriors and the Kings. And so Gary decides, I'm going to buy tickets. And you and everybody listening that has anything to do with sports, you can imagine what he had to pay to get tickets at the last minute for a play-in game at Golden 1. And they weren't just any tickets. He told his dad they were going. He did not tell them that they would be seated in the second row next to the Kings bench between the Kings and the scorer's table. And the thing that Gary didn't know, which gave me the chills, was his dad was so excited, he called Gary's sister. And Gary overheard that his dad, who's in his mid to late 70s, had never been to an NBA game. And so his first live NBA game is with his son in the second row next to the Kings. Gary and I were able to text throughout the whole evening. His dad ate up every minute of it. And I thought of you the whole time because I remember you asked me once on the air years ago, for some reason we were talking about this, and you asked me about the opportunity to go to like one more. And my dad is still alive, so don't anybody miss the point of this. But you know, that opportunity to go to one more Niners game or an A's game, because that was big. And the way that the sports bonds us together and the family aspect of it, and along with just, you know, loving Gary to death and just being so privileged to be his friend, I thought of you because I thought this is a story Steve will right away relate to and love.
Yes, I'm almost speechless in a sense. I've, as you said, I've known Gary for a long time. This to me is such a wonderful story. This is what sports are about. I mean, the reason I'm so passionate about sports is you know, this is something I shared with my father. We would go to games and all that other stuff. And no matter what it was, you could always talk sports. And that's what makes it so great. And for this to be the first game that his father attended is amazing. I mean, the last game I went to was at the LA Forum, and I'm sitting up in the rafters. You know, I could never even imagine being that close, but oh, what an experience. What a great game. He saw his two favorite teams playing, sitting next to his son. That's everything.
It is. And I think they're both still on cloud nine, from what I gather. When we were talking about it earlier on the regular show, the morning show rather, somebody did bring up, as I did, I alluded to what those tickets must have cost. And the answer is you don't put a price on that night, on that experience. You can't. And Gary's in a fortunate position that it's not like, you know, they're not going to hit their mortgage or anything. But that night, and it was so fun. They also sat around a number of celebrities, because that's where celebrities sit, right behind the Kings. There were former players. There were some reality stars, that were there. And it also gave my wife and I an hour of a bonding moment, because I knew exactly where he was sitting. It took us 18 seconds into the game for me to pause the TV and go, look, right there, right there. And even with the TV pause, she was able to go, yeah, that's Gary. Oh, and that's Pops. That's what we call Gary's dad. And then we spent the next hour watching. And every time, once you know what they're wearing, you know, she would yell out, there they are. There they are. There they are. Even if it was just like a sleeve, you could see Gary's arm, or you could see Pops's shirt. And it is such a great story. For a few years after I moved away from home, when I started my radio career, and I moved to Lake Tahoe and then into Reno for the next decade, which is where you and I met, I would when I could, I would drive all the way down to Oakland and Dad would drive in, and we would meet, and we would go to see games at the Coliseum, because that was our thing. It wouldn't be so special these days to reenact that, but. Same thing, Steve. And I know you did this with your kids as well. And that's why I knew that you would relate to this story in a way that would make you borderline as you were speechless.
Yes, that's one of the things I've always tried to do. And I'm so thankful to my wife that she likes sports. She likes attending these games, because I think it's something that families, you know, at least like mine, do together. We all remember it. I mean, my daughters now, they're big sports fans. When they go on vacations, they go to look to go to sporting events as well, as it's just something the whole family can enjoy. And again, so special to hear.
By the way, we just got an email, and I don't have the answer to this, so I will have to get it for us and report back. Shannon emailed RAD@radradio.com, because what I posted on Instagram when the game started, a picture of Gary and his dad at Golden One before the game. And I said, play a game tonight. Turn on the game and look for them. Here's where they're sitting. And we got a lot of emails from people who did that. Obviously, Shannon's one of them. She said, I noticed that they stayed the whole game, and I imagine that they stayed to see the beam lit. Please tell me he did. I don't know. I don't know if he was there, because we light the beam in Sacramento when the Kings win. I will follow up and try to get you that answer. Speaking of, there was a basketball game. Well, allegedly. The Kings came out. They looked incredible from the beginning to the end. They beat the Warriors 118-94. Keegan Murray scored 32. De'Aaron Fox added 24. It is the Kings' largest victory over the Warriors since February 21st of 2006. I want to do things in kind of a weird little order, Steve, because there's a lot to go over. I want to start with the Warriors. They went 27-12. To wrap up this season over the last 39 games. Head coach Steve Kerr held firm that their team was good enough to go the long run through the playoffs. They won 46 games for the season, objectively pretty good. You know what everybody's talking about now. Is this the end of the Warriors? You've been saying since months ago already, yeah, it's time to restart. There are arguments being made. You have to be a member of ESPN Plus. If you're on ESPN.com, you have to be a Plus member to read the whole article, where a writer, I don't have his name in front of me, but I read most of it this morning, makes the argument that the Warriors could trade some future round draft picks, and depending on their willingness to trade a core young player, could get into some conversations with some win now veterans. They could still build around what's left of Steph Curry. They're out right away. They're done. The Warriors are going home. So are you more than ever solidified that this is the end of the Golden State current dynasty, such as it is?
Yes, and watching last night's game, the Kings did a tremendous job with defense. They took Steph Curry out of the game. Every time Curry looked to get the ball, there was two guys on him. I mean, even right before halftime, they picked him up with basically three guys at half court because there was, you know, only a couple of seconds on the clock in order to not allow him to get a good shot off, you know, from half court to score right before halftime. I've felt the Warriors are going into rebuild mode. My big question is Kerr going to stick around? Are they going to trade away Steph Curry? You watch Klay Thompson. I mean, he didn't even have a point yesterday, 0 for 10. If it's me, I'm moving on from, you know, Chris Paul would be gone. Klay Thompson would be gone. I've grown tired of the Draymond Green act. I'd probably move him as well. So this is why I'm not a GM, because Warrior fans would really be upset with me. But I would go into the rebuild mode. I'm glad to see Podziemski get some playing time, Jackson Davis play. Kuminga, to me, started evolving as a player. I just think they're like 3 to 4 years away if they have good draft picks and that rebuilding part before I think you can even consider them a contender again.
So let's jump to, with the Kings winning, they now on Friday will travel to New Orleans where they will play the Pelicans. And yes, Alex, I got your email because I alluded yesterday, half jokingly, to Steve talking down the Pelicans. I said, well, you know, someday we're going to tell the story on the show about why you hate New Orleans. And Alex wants to hear the story. But not today, Alex, I promise you. Steve will get his chance to retell the story that I've heard more than once about his trip to New Orleans, which I don't think actually shades his ability to analyze games. Here's my question for you, Steve, before we get into the Kings and the Pelicans part. My question is just about the Pelicans specifically last night. Just over 3 minutes left. Zion Williamson is literally playing the game of his life. And he leaves. I mean, he leaves. He goes into the tunnel. TNT is carrying the game live, and they're trying to figure out what is going on. At one point, their court reporter says, she says, I just talked to the executive vice president, and he doesn't know what's going on. It turns out, leg injury, left leg injury. Williamson's out of the equation. Pelicans couldn't hang on. They lose the game. Staying just with the Pelicans, the fact is, Steve, Williamson's status is unclear as of right now. I'm a guy who says, I want to beat a team with their best players. We had an email earlier this morning on the morning show where somebody said, I hope Zion's out. That'll give the Kings a better chance. I hope the opposite. As a fan of the Kings, I want to see the Kings beat the Pelicans at their best. But I don't get control of any of that. This is the stupidest question I'm going to ask you, but it's a, no pun intended, layup question for obvious reasons. How big a deal would it be if Zion is unavailable?
Well, right now, you have to believe he is going to be unavailable. The Kings are a one-point favorite in New Orleans for the early line in this game. The part that I'm a little puzzled on is they're saying left leg soreness. And watching the game, you saw him go off the court. He wanted to stay in. He wanted to play. He was visibly upset that he had to leave and go back to the locker room. As soon as it happened, you know, he pointed to the bench, tapped his chest. He knew he had to come out of the game. Left leg soreness? I mean, what is that? I've never even really heard that. I could get, you know, hey, look, he pulled a calf muscle. He has a hamstring. And I mean, left leg soreness, I don't get it. I know everyone on the telecast didn't know what was going on. As you said, management didn't have an idea. But even today, that's where they're saying, they said he's going to go in for further testing today to determine what exactly is going on. I'm still puzzled today, and I wanted to find out, you know, what it turned out to be. And reading this morning, that's still where they're sticking to.
And so first of all, left leg soreness is what guys your age and my age get after they spend a weekend building a shed for their wife in the backyard. That's an inside joke for Steve, but you can all relate to the idea. But I'm with you. But let's say Zion ain't in. Does that mean the Pelicans still have a chance?
Yes, they still have a chance. I mean, they need CJ McCollum to step up. Brandon Ingram, who was hurt, he came back for the last three games played in this game. They just need to step up to that level, you know, that we all know they can perform at. The Kings, though, again, I can't say enough about Mike Brown and the game plan he drew up for the Kings in last night's game. It was phenomenal. You watched it from the get-go. The Warriors were never in that game. And the Pelicans, a really good team. They really need Zion in there, because when he's playing well, and we saw it last night, he was the best player on the court when he got going. And he can dominate a game. He's lost weight since the in-season tournament, and they really need him if they want to win this game.
And obviously, as we get closer to Friday, we'll continue to monitor all of this, and we'll really break it down on Friday, the Kings at the Pelicans game. So remember, this technically, these are not the NBA playoffs. These are the play-in games to determine who is in the playoffs. And there were four teams that played last night. The Warriors, they're done. We already talked about them. The Kings, as we just talked about, they move on to play the Pelicans. The winner of that game is in the playoffs. The loser of that game is done. They're out. Which brings us to the other team, the Los Angeles Lakers. As Steve said yesterday, when you have LeBron James, don't ever, ever, ever forget who LeBron James is. He ain't no Michael Jordan. But especially in big games, boy, does he rise up, and he can also bring out the best in his team. And also, Steve, you said you'd be surprised if we didn't see a lot of Anthony Davis. Boy, did we. The Lakers beat the New Orleans Pelicans 110-106. They are now in the playoffs. They are the seventh seed. They got 5 days off before they have to play the defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets. I'll start with what you thought of last night's game and what you think of the next 5 days and how they get ready for, and do they have a chance against the Nuggets? Take it away.
I think they have a chance against the Nuggets just because LeBron James is on the court. They have to keep, you know, AD healthy and playing. One of the things that I was a little disappointed in the Pelicans' defense, it just seemed like the Lakers had a lot of breakaway dunks, layups. The defense just wasn't getting back. But I just don't see the Lakers as a big-time threat to win the NBA championship. I think they have some holes there. We're relying on LeBron to carry the team for his, you know, his career. He's been unbelievable, but I just don't see it happening. Again, great game, but to me, the Lakers are a good team, not a great team. They got a couple of good players, but that's about all.
When they interviewed LeBron on the court right after the game, and he's a master at this stuff, he said all the right things about respecting the world champs and all that, but he said, we, you know, we get tonight off. We're probably going to take tomorrow off, meaning today, and then we're going to get back to the books. We're going to get back to the court. And the way he alluded to the Nuggets, you could tell LeBron, if it was a real moment, and it sure did seem like it, LeBron himself was saying out loud to himself, this is going to be really tough. Our chances against the Nuggets are not good, and we are going to have to play better than we've played all year to have any chance at beating them. And that seems to me to be, I mean, that's obviously the conventional wisdom. It's just a matter of, remember, somebody wrote in that when we were talking about that idiotic conspiracy theory yesterday that the Lakers should intentionally lose to avoid the Nuggets. Well, obviously, well, that was never true. But it seemed to be that, remember, somebody wrote during that, the Lakers aren't even going to go five games. They can't even make the series that far with the Nuggets. And it's almost like LeBron's not saying that, but he knows the Lakers are going to have to be super special to have a shot.
They are. They're going to have to play their best basketball of the season. I just don't think they match up well with the Nuggets, with Jokic, et cetera. And they don't have the bench strength that Denver can have. It's a tough one. And let's get crazy here and say, look, they find a way to beat the Nuggets in seven and they advance. My fear there would be they wasted and used so much energy in beating the Nuggets that I think they would be flat in that next round. So I don't see them advancing past that. It's great they have this opportunity. Yes, LeBron's in the postseason again. He's in the playoffs. But I just wouldn't raise my expectations too high for this team.
Back to where we began the segment and the show. the thing we love about sports, so many elements of it, and a couple things. First of all, the stories. And what a story it would be, regardless of what you think of either team. But what a story it would be if the Kings and the Lakers, or the Kings or the Lakers, were to suddenly be in the Western Championship Series. The sports world would be going, how did they do this? Not against each other. I'm not even suggesting that. If either team got that far, we would all be going, oh, my God, what an incredible story for all the reasons you just said. The other thing to wrap up is I did get a text from Gary, like a good friend. He is listening, obviously. And he sent me a text because people were wondering. Somebody wrote in and said, did they she watched the whole game through. Did they actually stay to see the beam lit? And Gary texted me and said, yes, I stayed for the beam lighting. And he sent me a picture of the moment that Sabonis hit the button. And in the picture, you can see how amazing his seats are. We're going to get that picture up and ready for you to see if you're watching us on Rad TV, so that you can see how incredible these seats were. But they did stay all the way till the end, he and his dad. Now we got to play the East tonight. We got two games, four teams, same scenarios. We're going to go over those, and we're going to get into hockey next.
Knicks Picks, the Knicks Picks Sports Show.
We got this email from Matthew. We were talking about Gary, who occasionally joins the Mixed Pick Sports Show. Took his dad last night to the Kings-Warriors game, not knowing his dad had never been to a live game, despite basketball being his favorite sport. And the Warriors and the Kings, his two favorite teams, and they got these amazing second-row seats next to the Kings bench. And next to the scorer's table, Matthew says, I, too, decided to go to the game last minute, went by myself, spent some money to sit down low, but not on the floor. Wow, what a great story. I got to say, it was probably the best game I've ever been to, and I can only imagine how great it was for Gary and his dad. I am a Kings fan, but honestly, I didn't think they would win and wanted to see the Splash Brothers possibly one last time in a rivalry game, but they didn't show up. Worth every penny for me. And I'm sure Gary and his father, great game plan by Coach Brown, the ex-Warriors coach. And I mentioned they did stay to see Sabonis light the beam. And if you're watching us on Rad TV, which you can do at members.radradio.com, we can put the picture up of Sabonis lighting the beam. It's not currently up. That's some goofy Google thing. I promise you we have the picture. There's technical issues to do this in real time. There it is. That's from his seats. So if you're watching us on Rad TV, that's where Gary and his dad were sitting, and there's Sabonis lighting the beam next to where all the action was happening, and on the other side of them in a different angle was the Kings bench. It's taken like from a reverse angle. So it was obviously an incredible night for them and for the Kings. They play Friday, as we already discussed, against New Orleans. So we go through it all again tonight, Steve, with the East. So the 7th and 8th place seeds play. And the winner is in, like the Lakers. Whoever wins the early game tonight at 4 o'clock West Coast time on ESPN, they're in the playoffs. Whoever loses, though, still has a chance because they will play the winner of the later game, because the loser of the later game goes home. So, Steve, in the East, we'll start with 4 o'clock. The Miami Heat are at the Philadelphia 76ers. What do you got?
Right now, the 76ers are a 5-point favorite in this game. Joel Embiid is listed as questionable. I find it hard to believe he's not going to play. But, you know, he's in that minutes restriction coming back from his injury. He is such a big factor for this team. I think he plays. I think he has a big game. And I like the Sixers in this spot. Jimmy Butler worries me a little bit. This guy always seems to elevate his game come playoff time. And we've now, even though they don't call it the playoffs, I still view this as the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think the Sixers are a better team. I like the moves they made, setting it up. You know, Bam Adebayo is healthy also along with Butler, because injuries are always a concern. Terry Rozier will be out for the Heat in this game, but Duncan Robinson is back and healthy as of right now. Sixers, to me, they need to get the job done, take care of business, get up quick, let them be, had a big game, and they need to just play great basketball from the tip.
And if they do, they're in, and then they get, what is it the same, is it four or five days rest, right?
Yes, to play the Knicks.
And then they would play the Now, why would they play the Knicks and not the Celtics? Because
the Celtics are the one seed. The winner of this game becomes the seventh seed.
Oh, that's right.
Just like the Lakers.
Thank you. Thank you for keeping me in check on that. That's right. They would play then because Miami wouldn't be done. Let's say Miami loses tonight. They would then play the winner of the late game. The loser of the late game, they're done. They're out. They're like the Warriors. Go home, bye-bye. You're not in it. So Miami would play either if the Sixers win. The Atlanta Hawks or the Chicago Bulls, the game is in Chicago, 6:30 scheduled start time on ESPN. What about that one?
Right now, the Bulls are a three-point favorite here, but Trae Young, who missed a lot of games here at the end of the season, is back. He's playing. He was on a minutes restriction. I think that restriction goes away here. Trae Young, DeJounte Murray really need to have a big game, but if Trae can play the way that we know he can play, he can carry this team. The Bulls, DeRozan, he's their big guy for this team. I haven't been happy with the Bulls, you know, the last couple of years. Injuries have been such a big factor for them. I like the Hawks, even though, keep in mind, the 10 seed has never won this game, and the Hawks are the 10 seed. I like the Warriors last night going into the game, and the Kings kept that streak going by not allowing a 10 seed. But I like the Hawks here plus the three.
Other than the this is why we play the games, any given Sunday cliche that I always throw out at you, though, Steve. And I know I am much more pro-Miami right now than you are. Do you see Miami losing to either the Hawks or the Bulls if they have to play them to get in?
No, to me, this Heat-Sixers game is the winner is the seventh seed, the loser is the eighth seed. The Hawks-Bulls are just playing to play a game, and whoever wins that game, to me, is going to end up losing in the next game to whoever loses the Heat-Sixers game.
As we alluded to yesterday, Steve and I actually have real jobs. This is our fun time where we get to do this every day. I do a morning radio show and have been doing so for over three decades. That's how Steve and I met, because Steve has been running sports books for decades as well. And part of your concern for, well, years, and especially over the last year or two, as sports betting has become prevalent and more legal, we're up to just under 40 states where it's legal, is the transparency and the ability of people who have a stake in the game being able to say, wait a minute, there's something screwed up about that, whether it's a ref's call, an injury, et cetera. And we talked about this story weeks ago. And if it was a bigger name and a bigger moment, it would be an even bigger story. It's a big story anyways. This morning, your breaking news that came out minutes before we went on the air, but I held it because I wanted to do everything else first. Toronto Raptors forward Jonte Porter has been banned from the NBA. Not suspended, banned. The NBA said that Porter provided confidential information to bettors, limited his own participation in games for gambling purposes, and bet on NBA games. He's Pete Rose times 1,000. Porter, according to the league, gave a bettor information about his own health status before Toronto's game on March 20th. The league said that another individual known to be an NBA bettor placed an $80,000 bet that Porter would not hit the numbers set for him in parlays through an online sportsbook. That bet would have won $1.1 million. You bet 80 grand, you win $1.1 million. Porter took himself out of that game after only a few minutes, claiming illness with none of his stats meeting the total set in the parlay. The bet ultimately was frozen and not paid out. The NBA started an investigation, and they have banned Jonte Porter from the league. Now, Steve, I'm trying to look at this from your angle before getting you to comment on it. On one hand, this is the kind of stuff that makes fans, puts them in that place where they yell and scream and blah, blah. On the other hand, the NBA did the right thing, didn't they?
They did the right thing here, and they had to come down with a heavy hand because they need to discourage this going forward. They have to protect the brand, the integrity of the game. We're starting to see a lot of different stories. From my understanding, Porter had an account in Colorado with FanDuel, bet millions over the last couple of years. Through an associate of his. He also had one that they said he bet $59,000, made like $21,000, wasn't on NBA games. But this is where fans really start questioning things. You know, we have all the camera angles now. We see the game. The last thing we need, and I fall into this too, the last thing we need is players, one, throwing games and giving information out on health status. That should never happen, and they know better than that. But two, we don't want the fans starting to question, is the game real or is it fixed? So I'm glad to see he was banned. We knew the NBA was going to take a really strong stance. If there was any truth to these rumors that have come out, they've already done that. And you hope that the other players understand this and say, look, I know I have friends and associates who do like to bet on sports, but I cannot give them anything that might influence the outcome of a game.
And this is so egregious. I mean, this is, and so to me, they had no choice but to ban him. And the skeptical fan says, yeah, well, if it wasn't Jonte Porter, what if it was somebody real? You know, what if it was this brother who's on the Nuggets? What if it was a bigger player? They wouldn't do it. And the reason they say that is the way Major League Baseball has handled the Shohei Ohtani case. For now, this is the best we could ask for.
Yes, it's funny as you go there, because I received a text this morning saying that this was LeBron James, it'd be swept under the rug just like Shohei Ohtani. They'd let it go. They wouldn't let all the facts get out that we're starting to hear, you know, with the numerous different stories and wagers that were being placed. You know, and sorry, the skeptical side is watching the Ohtani thing going, yep. It's hard for me to say that isn't the case. But we have to start believing, and it's important to keep it that we believe the games are being determined on the court and are not being influenced by the wagering aspect.
Got an email from Matt, R-A-D, at radradio.com. Question for Steve. Steve said that the Kings are currently favored by one against the Pelicans Friday night. How do odds makers make a spread with such a key injury like Zion's when they're not even sure whether or not he will play? That's a great question.
They pretty much kind of go in the middle. You know, this is one of those games, maybe Zion plays and they're a 1.5, 2-point favorite here. If Zion's out, you're looking at the Kings probably like a 2-point favorite. So they're kind of picking a middle ground there, you know, one way or another. As soon as the injury update happens, that line will move one way or another. One of the problems for sports books is in today's day and age with all the social media and all that, there are those people who make a living betting sports that seem to get that information before the bookmakers do. And they always seem to be able to capitalize on that, because you will suddenly see the line move and wagers come in. And then about 10 minutes later, you'll see that injury update, and they are usually on it long before the bookmakers.
So the Kings favored by one as of right now. If we found out today that this mysterious right leg soreness, or whatever the hell they're calling it, is something that has a more official name. If they came out today and said Zion is out, how would you guess that moves the line for the Kings?
I think the Kings would move up probably to a 1.5, 2-point favorite. I do think there'll be a slight move, but it won't be big.
Okay.
The way he exited and the way this is going, I just have a hard time believing he's going to be able to play Friday. So that's where I think the Kings being favored by one, because if people felt that Zion was going to play, I still believe the Pelicans would be a slight favorite in this game.
I promised you hockey. We're going to do it next.
Mix Picks, the Mix Picks Sports Show.
Let's go!
I promise you, I'm not screwing with you. We are going to talk hockey. I mean, that was wild last night, and how it affects the playoffs and what's left moving forward. But the Sacramento Kings, they beat the Warriors last night. Warriors are gone. They're done. The Kings have to go to Indiana, they have to go to New Orleans and play the Pelicans on Friday. But the big question is Zion Williamson, their star player, who left last night's game with right leg soreness. And we're all like, what does that mean? And we weren't sure. But Steve, you've got some inside info on an update?
Yeah, just broke during our commercial break. Zion is out. It is a hamstring injury.
Whoa.
He will not be playing.
Oh.
And the Kings move to 2-point favorites.
Whoa. Wow. Love.
We gave the news prior
to
it being announced, and that's where we went.
By the way, what I mean by I love that, exactly that, is that I asked you what would happen, and then sure enough, it happens after we said it, and it's exactly what you said. Kings moved to a 2-point favorite. I don't love that the Kings won't be beating the Pelicans at full strength, but look, all that matters is you know, you got to play against what you're given, and they go in, and what a story just for the Kings to even get in. So that's the latest, is that Zion is officially out for Friday night's game against the Kings. So let's go to hockey. As we mentioned yesterday, there were four teams that were vying for the last spot in the East. And you mentioned, Steve, that the Washington Capitals, they win, they're in, it's over. And so I'm watching the Lakers game, and I get a text from you about your, because your Detroit Red Wings were one of the four teams that technically could still get this last spot. And they score it with 3.3 seconds left, I think you said. And so I plop over. The only thing I hate about this is, if you don't have like multiple screens, if you're not in a sports book, if you don't have a man cave where you can have a bunch of TVs, when you plop over to ESPN Plus, which is where I can get my hockey games, you can't, it doesn't like in real time, you can't like picture in picture, and it's not previous channels. So I go over and I start watching the Red Wings in overtime. And then I flip back over to the Capitals game, which was tied at 1-1. And these games are happening at the same time, which is so frustrating when you're trying to go back and forth. I flip over, and suddenly the Capitals are winning 2-1. And I'm like, what the hell happened in the 45 seconds while I was watching the Red Wings? And I get a text from you that made no sense, not your text, because you said in your text, this makes no sense. What were the Flyers doing? What happened? How did the Capitals wind up winning this game? What was the thinking?
I don't understand it at all. And as we were talking, I was disappointed. The Red Wings kept playing catch up. They were down the whole entire game. I'm watching it. I'm like, here it is. We're going to end up losing. They score, as you said, with 3.3 seconds left. I text you. I'm ecstatic. I now switch my focus because I know we're going to overtime immediately to the Flyers game. And the Flyers pulled their goalie with, in a tie game at 1-1, I want to say with about 3:12 to go in the third period, they pull their goalie. It isn't even like a big, you know, threat on the opponent's goal. Capitals get it, throw it in from half ice, you know, mid ice there, score. And I'm like, why is the goalie gone? I'm not a hockey expert. I love watching the game, but why would you pull your goalie with 3:12 to go in the third period in a tie game? And they gave up the goal within 12 seconds. That was the game. They kept pulling their goalie throughout, but really never made a threat to score against the Capitals. Red Wing season's over, and I just sat there and just shook my head. I'd understand if they were down one. I get it. Look, we need to win to stay in playoff contention, but in a tie game to pull it with over 3 minutes to go, I don't understand it. I'm not a hockey expert, but that made no sense
and
to me at all.
With both games happening at the same time, what was so, as a fan, frustrating, and I'm just a hockey fan when it's the postseason. I don't have a team. I don't have a horse in the race. I mean, to be completely honest, I'm rooting for the Red Wings or the Knights because Steve is, you know, and you live vicariously through your friends when you don't have a team. And it's like within seconds of knowing, oh, okay, OT, we're done with the Red Wings. We're going to a shootout. We know that, no, never mind. The Capitals won. This is all meaningless. And it was just so, and I haven't seen, I did not dive deep, Steve, so maybe you did, maybe you saw. Have you seen an explanation from the Flyers coach as to what the hell they were thinking?
I have not at this point. I haven't gone in and researched it. Just, I was heartbroken because I'm watching both games at the same time. And, hey, look, we found a way to tie it up. Granted, still got to win in overtime, but I have hope. And within, I swear, 30 seconds of having the hope, it all went away. Just like that, with an empty net goal, and it scored, I want to say, with exactly 3 minutes remaining. And I just, How? I don't understand.
But by the way, I'm chuckling because you're a long-suffering Lions fan. You admit to your PTSD over the years of a variety of your sports teams. And I'm doing all of this flipping back and forth with my wife sitting next to me. I said to her, babe, we got to take a break. I got to watch this. And she's like, fine, you know, I get it. And she's a trooper. And as soon as the Capitals win, all I say to her, because when we were watching the Red Wings, I'm like, you're rooting for the team in, I think they were in their white uniforms. I forget now, but I'm like, that's Steve's team. You're rooting for them. She goes, okay. Because she actually watches. And as soon as the Capitals win, I go, well, Steve just had his heart broken again. And she went, oh, man. And so we had that. So as I understand it, Steve, the entire East bracket is locked in. The only thing that remains to be determined is in the West, and it's the shuffle between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Los Angeles Kings for the number 3 seed versus the second West wild card. Whoever gets the number 3 spot will take on the Edmonton Oilers in round 1. Whoever gets the wild card will square off against the Dallas Stars. Neither club is playing tonight. It's tomorrow night. Is there anything going on? What do we got? We have 4 games tonight scheduled in the NHL. Toronto, Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, New York, St. Louis, Dallas, Edmonton, Arizona. Other than you love hockey, is there any reason to watch any of this tonight?
No, tonight's games have no effect. It's all about tomorrow night. The Vegas Golden Knights are going to host the Anaheim Ducks. They should win this game. They're at home. They're going to be huge favorites. As long as they win, they're locked into that 6th seed out of the West. The Kings are going to play the Blackhawks, the team that the Golden Knights beat last night, and the Kings will end up in the 8th seed.
And by the way, the official playoffs, they start Saturday. We're waiting for all of this to kind of play out until the NHL gives us the who, the what, the when. The Eastern Conference, as I understand it, is set with the Panthers playing Tampa Bay, Boston playing Toronto, the Rangers playing the Capitals, and the Hurricanes playing the Islanders. To start in the East, Steve, who you got your eye on?
The three teams that I think are the best. I mean, the Panthers ended up winning that division. The Bruins have been really good all year, and the Hurricanes playing great hockey right now. That's that team I think can sneak up there and do some damage. I know everybody looks at Toronto. I'm just not sure that they're able to get through any of those three teams. So those are the three teams I'm looking for out of the East.
And yesterday you already said in the West, yesterday, didn't you like have, like if I forced you to like seed them in terms of likeliness, you had the Knights. I mean, you think the Knights can go far in the West. You had them like number 2 best chance.
I think they have a long road to go, but I would not be shocked if the Golden Knights ended up winning out of the Western Conference. I think they match up when they're healthy, and I'm basing on a lot of things with they're going to get healthy for this playoffs. I understand where the other teams were complaining because they've manipulated that salary cap so well so that they can have all of these players in the postseason. But I think they match up with the Stars. The Avalanche, to me, haven't been playing that good. The Jets, I just can't take them seriously. As I said in yesterday's show, they remind me so much of the Buffalo Bills. High expectations, never get the job done. So to me, I think behind the Stars, I like the Knights as the second best team out of the West.
All right. And again, we'll get this all official. Because Thursday, Steve already went through. You got the Vegas and the LA game. Remember, the other game tomorrow is whether or not the San Jose Sharks can actually get to 20 wins. So that's the other thing happening in hockey. Now, here's the good news for those of you that are like, oh, my God, it was all basketball and hockey. Okay. Gotcha. You know, we have an hour every day. We do what we think we have to, including cool stories and news and breaking news and things like that. With barely anything that matters, well, nothing that matters in hockey happening tonight, we know we've got the Eastern games from the NBA to talk about tomorrow. Short of anything wild happening, we get to get caught up tomorrow on so much that's out there that needs to be talked about, including still some stories from Major League Baseball that I've alluded to about how the pitch clock is what's causing all of these injuries to the pitchers. The Otani story, there's more to it again. There is NFL news, a very wacky explanation from Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, about why they've done nothing all offseason, and so much more. So I promise you, things like that and answers to some of your emails, as well tomorrow. You can always email us, red@radradio.com. Steve, I will see and talk to you in 23 hours.
Thank you.
Mix.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
Mix.
Little roller up along first. Behind the back.
Save the puck!